Have you ever studied World War One? No lives matter, dude.
That's just true.
Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge, right here on RFI. They're the host who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
Bucktown, where the chicks are on the make, the cops are on the take, and the welcoming committee is a sawed-off shotgun. Bucktown, starring Fred Williams, Pam Grier, Thalamus Rasulala, and Tony King. Together, they're gonna paint Bucktown red. Bucktown, rated R.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Vinson. Sitting right over there is Paul Schultz.
Hey, everybody.
And don't you forget, nothing you're about to hear is true?
Question mark.
Okay, I've decided today, everything I say, I'm going to do that little uptick that people do that's so annoying. So I'm going to do it for the next hour.
Yeah, you mean the little thing that Paul Harvey had perfected years ago, because he'd be in his show, he'd be like, "Good day," like, "Okay."
Damn, there's nothing new under the sun.
No, sadly,
Paul Harvey beat me to it.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. I was noticing. I was listening to the Do It Indie Radio Hour last week, and boy, that MP, he has a voice like. He has a voice like angels singing. He's got a voice for radio. I hear he's got a face for radio too, but it does, doesn't it? It sounds like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he's really good at sounding like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. He's good at, that's right. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to offer this challenge or this request. I've been very pleased and happy to introduce their show for the last several weeks.
And doing a fine job.
Well, thank you. You know what? The other thing MP's good at is making me sound good. So I do several takes, and I think he splices in the pieces of each take that sound the best.
You're laying all over his cutting room floor.
I am. Oh, that sounds dirty.
Pieces of you.
Pieces of you. Speaking of which, I just, I know you know this, but the listeners, just before we came on the air, I was recording some new ones that I had written. So hopefully those draw some interest and a laugh or two. My goal is to build up my notoriety and fame to the point that when I finally do show up to a live taping of the Do It Indie Radio Hour, everybody there is going to want to meet the face behind the voice.
Well, the first thing you got to do is get you a nice glittery sport coat.
And a bow tie.
That's right, and a bow tie.
Yeah. I have to invent. That's what I have to do. I have to invent a persona, a visual, physical persona to match my audio persona.
Well, that's what Bowie did.
So that's what the glittery suit is for?
Well.
So you're saying Bowie wasn't really Bowie? Was he? That sounds like Fuzzy Wuzzy.
Fuzzy Wuzzy.
David Bowie wasn't Bowie, was he? Anyway, so you're saying that he developed the audio persona, and then he.
Yeah, he had such terrible stage fright in the beginning that he figured if he invented a character to play on the stage, he wouldn't be him, and then eventually the two became one, much like the Spice Girls song.
I'm sure Bowie would be proud of the reference. Simply to be mentioned in the same sentence as the Spice Girls would be an honor to Sir David, I'm sure. Wait, was he a knight? Was he knighted?
He's too cool to be knighted.
He'd be like the Duke of Bow. So anyway,
he was the thin white duke. So then, yeah, I guess that would answer that.
One night, I ate like a ton of turnips and some of those white carrots and a whole bunch of Swiss cheese.
On a bet. Next
morning, big thin white duke, man. It like filled the toilet. except only like, you know, soft serve ice cream. I called it the Thin White Duke.
Thin White Duke.
Speaking of which, the reason I brought up my intros to the Do It Any Radio Hour, we'd like to have MP and or Tolan introduce our show sometime.
I think that would be awesome.
I'm not talking about replacing Hollywood because he is irreplaceable. But
oh, there's always room for Hollywood.
No, it's Hollywood's voice, man. Every time he introduces our show, I'm like, this show is going to be awesome.
That's right. Yeah. You know, James hit me up the other day, and he's like, something like, that's okay. I would probably save his voice messages, too. he's that far along on the archives.
Superfan James.
That's right. Superfan James.
Yeah. You know, Superfan James is welcome to call into the show anytime he wants. Because I have some questions about the show.
Okay, good. So we all have. Yeah, yeah. I learned that pretty early on that you have questions about the show.
So what is this thing referred to as alternate song titles? Just curious. Could you fill us in on that? When did we introduce that? When was the first cover song show?
And what
were the cover songs? Because if we do another cover song show, yeah. Because if we do another one, I don't want to repeat any. So we need Superfan James to give us the lowdown.
Yeah, we should do another cover song because God knows I've already found three or four that were better than Jeff Buckley's "Hallelujah," which I believe was supposed to be the greatest cover tune of all time.
Lord have mercy. I don't remember if I played, I don't remember because if I did not do John Hiatt, Take Time to Know Her, it would be a crying shame. Cause I didn't even know it was a cover song until like a year ago. I thought it was John Hiatt's song.
Right.
Percy Sledge was like rolling over in his grave. Can you imagine having a name like Percy Sledge? Wouldn't that be a great name to have?
I'd name myself Whitey Sure is Tricky.
Sledge. Awesome. Speaking of Whitey, did you happen to see either in the news or on everybody's Facebook wall, our tweets, the story about the guy who was in the Brussels bombing and the headline is, "What?" One man survived three terrorist attacks. Did you see that?
Yeah, actually I did. I saw that. I saw that before you posted it. That's why I commented on it.
Oh, got it. All right. Of course I knew you saw that. You commented. We joked about it. We even messengered about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I've put this out there, and I've been discussing it with people all day because it starts out as, so the story, in case people have been living, you know, under Iraq lately. Yeah, I thought of that today. I was like, boy, that living under Iraq thing or whatever, it takes on a new meaning.
I like that.
What, you been living under Iraq? As a matter of fact, I have. Like, that's Saddam Hussein. Well, yeah.
Close the door, Jesus. What, were you born in a barn? Yes.
Saddam Hussein's first words were, "Is this England?" And they said, "What, have you been living under a rock?" And he's like, "Yes, I have." That was like four references all in one joke. Anyway, so for people that don't know, this saint was at the Brussels airport when the bomb went off, and when one of the bombs went off, and he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the hospital, and somehow the news got this story, the headline of which is, "Man survives Boston, Paris, and Brussels terrorist attacks," right? So I saw that headline, and here's the shame of being a grown-up. It's like when you see something that just can't possibly be true,
mm-hmm.
you automatically know that something's up, right?
Yeah.
I want to live in a world where I read that headline and go, oh my God, that's so great. Unfortunately, 90% of the earth lives in that world, right?
I was just going to say.
So I'm cursed with this ability to smell bullshit from 3 miles away. It's like, and the problem with being able to smell bullshit from so far away is you're always smelling bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you and I had the conversation of, is he lying? What were the possibilities? Oh, or is he in on it?
Yes. That was my initial thing was having read so many mystery novels. He's obviously, in on it.
So he's either in on it, lying, or, I don't know anything about statistics and odds of things happening.
I would say those are nigh on astronomical. It wasn't like an Onion article or anything, was it, that went awry?
There's a fourth possibility, which turns out to be one I had not thought of, but I should have thought of immediately, and we should all think this way.
Aliens?
That's a fifth one. The thing that should be the first thing we all think of when we read a headline and think bullshit,
mm-hmm.
The very first thing we should think of is something we've talked about on this show before.
Mm.
People in news organizations, especially now with clickbait and internet, the more clicks you get, the more money you make,
mm-hmm.
and the general state of ignorance in our journalism schools.
Yeah.
They suck at writing headlines. They don't give a shit whether it tells the truth or not. Right. They don't give a shit whether it's really what the article's about. And the articles themselves are... Okay, so here's the bottom line. When I was in... this isn't the bottom line. This is another tangent. When I was in grade school... It's like, they're close to the same thing. When I was in grade school, I in Boy Scouts or whatever, for some reason the news came... the newspaper photographer came.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having a ceremony. I don't know, feel good story, whatever.
Right.
So I got my picture in the paper. They got the reason we were even having in the ceremony wrong. They got my name wrong. They mm-hmm. got, they spelled it wrong. They got the order that we were standing in the picture wrong. And they might have misspelled Springfield School. I don't know. But ever since that day, I've thought, I was like, you can't really, if they got that wrong, what else do they get wrong?
Right.
And so they're looking for a story, right?
Mm-hmm.
Combined with this kid's family, who knows? I don't know him, and it's unfair to make this judgment without knowing him or anything about him, but who knows? Maybe they're kind of like publicity whores too.
Right.
So here's the real story. You sent me... It was funny because on a different post, you made the joke of posting Snopes.com.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Which didn't link to an article. It linked to...
It just links to Snopes. Like, yeah, because we were doing Snopes.com, that's what it does.
We were doing this foolish thing about, this is the only guy badass enough to do these very specific things.
Yeah,
I was
right.
Like, are you sure nobody else has sired that child and done that exact thing? But anyway, I followed the link just in case you had linked to an article. And right there on the front, on Snopes.com front page, was this kid, this guy,
mm-hmm.
where it said reportedly survived 3 whatevers.
Yeah.
Terrorist attack. So I got more information. That was a long story to say I got more information. And here's what it is. And let's break this down. He was at the Boston Marathon when the bomb went off.
Oh.
So were at least 500,000 other people. Okay. Saying he survived that bombing is like saying if a, I lived in Chicago when a plane went down near O'Hare Airport. So I survived that plane crash. Right.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing. Now, he was in France. Not in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
He was in France, 2 hours outside of Paris, when that terrorist attack happened. Okay. So somebody else, like I pointed this out on my wall, and somebody said, well, I mean, to there was nothing special going on in France and Belgium, so it's still pretty astronomical odds. And I'm like, I don't know about that. I don't know about that, because there is a there's an observer's bias here, and so stop me if I get too technical, but if you took any of those motherfuckers, there was like 200, 300 people. It's not fair to call them motherfuckers because they were innocent victims of terrorism.
I thought that was a technical term. Yeah. I was like, whoa, 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 you're being too technical.
So the injured in the Brussels attacks, okay, random, right? So let's say 300 people were injured.
Okay.
So you take that 300 people, and it's totally random, right? The only not random ones were the dudes that blew themselves up. And you started, and you go, okay, how many of them were in France during the Paris attacks? Pretty good odds that a lot of them were in France, right? And you say, okay, well, draw a circle around Paris that's a two-hour drive from Paris, right? Mm-hmm. What would that be? I don't know how many people live in Paris, but at least that many.
A lot.
Three, four million, maybe more.
A lot of snooty.
Yeah.
How many people are visiting?
How many people are, eating escargot.
And smoking their cigarettes.
Brioche. And smoking their cigarettes. Yeah, with their hand upside down.
What is that? Like, why is that even a thing?
Because that's how you do it if you want to say, la pu.
You're teaching the baby to smoke wrong. Smoke like this.
Our kid's French teacher is hilarious. And I'm actually Facebook friends with him, so we cut up on Facebook now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But during one of the meetings where we're talking about our French exchange student and stuff, he's like, don't worry about if you get everything right when you're trying to communicate with him. He's like, speak English, speak whatever French you know, speak a combination. He's like, but anything you say in English, as long as you go, ho, 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 it's going to sound French. So, and he's actually French. He's from France. So,
that's funny.
So it was pretty hilarious. Anyway. So, okay. So we've established that to be at the Brussels thing and in France at the time that the Paris attacks happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not like it happens every day, or like 250 out of those 300 injured were there. Right. Mm. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's on the order of 5 or 10.
Right.
That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're saying somebody who goes to a very famous, very well attended marathon in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it is statistically, I'm not saying it happens every day.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a 1 in 100, or even maybe 1 in 150, or 1 in 1,000.
Right.
That somebody from that group would also be at the other two things within the same distance.
Mm-hmm.
But using the word survived those other two,
yeah,
that's the bullshit part.
That's the bait.
Because, and here's what's super insidious about it. If the headline said, victim who survived Brussels attack also happened to be in France when those attacks happened, and was at the Boston Marathon when that happened, nobody would read that headline.
Right. Yep. It's just totally
nobody would click, because you'd go, oh, that's interesting, but yeah, it seems like he's super unlucky, but, you know, whatever. I mean, there were people who survived 9/11 who got killed in car accidents, and I thought that was astronomical. You know, so that's my rant about that.
Well, you know, you were talking a minute ago about, you know, newspapers and whatnot, and news agencies not even giving a shit about facts or getting them all wrong. Way back in the, this goes so far back as in the early 80s, when 60 Minutes ran this, well, clearly it was an hour long, they ran this special on, like, the dangers behind Dungeons and Dragons. And they literally got everything wrong about something that...
Oh, yeah.
Now, if they would do that to sensationalize, to get people to tune in to watch their show 30 plus years ago, you know, they're still doing it to this day. What else did they get wrong? You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it feeds into that whole, like, if it's something you agree with and it fits your narrative, then you don't even question it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That reminded me, we should do a show.
Okay, welcome to the No Panic Radio Show.
Sitting right over there, choking on his own spit, is Steve Vincent.
Hey, how you doing? We should do a show.
I think it would be neat to do a show on D&D in that whole history.
It's insane. I mean, because it's a crazy...
I have this weird reverse narcissism where I never think anything's about me. And I know it doesn't show.
Yeah, you hide it well.
I hide it well, exactly. I've overcome it.
Your coping mechanism. You hide it well.
It's like a girl that wears a baggy sweater and it turns out she has great tits. That's sort of how I am with my reverse narcissism. I wear a giant baggy sweater. My reverse narcissism is the nice tits of the baggy sweater. Okay, I think I've gone as far as I can go with that one. But what I'm talking about is that whole thing that happened with Dungeons and Dragons and the demonization of people that played it, it never occurred to me how in the thick of it you and I were and our friends.
Mm-hmm.
Until you started posting about it recently, and it would be like it's the reefer madness of our generation.
yeah, right? Yeah, it really was.
And in a lot of ways, you know, that stigma is still there.
Yeah.
Even though the gamers now drive the culture.
Yeah.
And the gamers are the popular kids. Now, when I say that, I'm talking about these kids that sit in front of their TVs all day playing video games.
Yeah, yeah. We've been relegated to being called... We're now called tabletop gamers, which I think is bullshit. Okay. We came first. They need some kind of prefix to their title. Not
good
us.
Point.
We're great the gamers. Point. They're the console gamers or something.
Well, but they invented the word gamer. We never used that back in the day.
Well, that's because it's a dumb name.
I can't get my head around this one, and my wife continues posing this question on Facebook in her usual passive way. And I've been trying to get my head around it.
You mean that in the best possible way.
I mean that in the best fucking possible way, absolutely. What I've been trying to get my head around is we're flying... Okay, this occurred to me today. We're flying our flags at half staff because of the Brussels attack.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've declared an international day of mourning or not.
Well nobody's really changing their Facebook picture, so I don't know.
Yeah,
if
that's
yet.
True. I did for a day. Changed mine.
I wonder what that was. I had to Google what the hell that even was.
That was the Brussels flag, which looks a lot like the German flag.
That's what confused me.
It's kind of a slap in the face.
I'm like, what the fuck happened in Germany now? Again?
Yeah, right.
Was that, was
don't
that
happen
guy
in
there?
Germany. They're too fucking afraid of the Germans.
That's
to do
right.
anything there. So here's the thing I can't get my head around.
Mm.
Last week or the week before,
mm-hmm.
huge attack in downtown Ankara, Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think that was like the second attack within a couple of weeks. Like 30, 40 people died, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no flags at half staff, no je suis turkey, you know. Although I do that
saying.
Every Thanksgiving. Every Thanksgiving I do the je suis turkey because it's just a shame. It's like a turkey holocaust once a year, every November.
Turkey so, holocaust. Too soon,
suis,
man.
Je suis turkey.
Too soon.
Too soon. We're about to have a rabbit holocaust. Easter's coming. Ah, Easter rabbits. All right.
So, anyway, go ahead.
So what's up with that? Why do we, I don't think it's racism. I mean, the easy thing to do is to say, well, it's because people in Turkey are brown. You know, and the people in Paris and in Belgium are not brown. A nut brown. Sound like I said nut brown. Like that nut brown ale.
Beer.
Anyway, so what is it? What's up with that?
I'm going with the brown thing. That and nobody made a thing that can change your Facebook picture.
I had a couple of thought experiments I went through.
Okay.
One is, if, okay, think back to when, it hasn't happened in a while, but a couple of times there were some huge terrorist attacks in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Russians look like us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my daughter has a friend who was adopted from Russia, and I didn't know that till recently, and I look at her and I can't even tell she's Russian, except maybe her eyes are a little bit too close
to me. And she walks like this.
And every time she comes to our house, we open the refrigerator and she just starts crying. Oh my God, all this food.
Telephone. Only three men know the destruction it can trigger. The man who conceived it, the man who stole it, the man who must stop it. Telephone. The operation that can activate 51 brainwashed, hypnotized human time bombs.
All it took to activate was a simple telephone call.
Miles to go
before I sleep.
Deep cover Soviet agents. Unaware they're agents until they're triggered.
I'd like to go back to Moscow remembering you as being alive. Can you help me accomplish that?
I killed for you, Major.
I am Major Grigory Bortsov of the KGB. Your mission has been canceled.
Charles Bronson, Lee Remick, Donald Pleasance. When it rings, no one is safe.
Don't panic. It's Steve and Paul on RFI.
So I guess my point being, I don't remember us lowering flags back then either.
Right.
You know, when Russia got attacked. I have two theories. One is I agree that when it happens to people who live a similar life to us and who have the same degree or sense of, or the same perception of security and like normal life,
mm-hmm.
Then it shocks us and we're like, holy shit, that could happen here. It has happened here, right? But when it happens in Turkey, and this could just be my extreme ignorance, I thought this kind of thing happened a lot in Turkey. Now, by a lot, I mean like, every year, every couple of years, and has been happening for the past
forever.
Yeah, and I could be wrong about that because Turkey's like part of NATO, they're part of Europe, they're a democracy, they're not a they're not one of those fucking Islamic fundamentalist places like Iran. So I think that probably plays into it.
Wait, what's their major religion?
Islam, but they're not an Islamic.
It doesn't matter because we're Americans and we think they're all the same.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's part of it. I think that's part of it.
Brussels, yeah. France, Germany, all that shit. They all have, you know, the same basic, you know, theology as we do.
Well,
you know, as far as being
okay,
being, you know, Catholics being the dominant religion next to, you know, the brown one.
Right, but still.
I don't know.
Yeah, but still. Still.
You win.
75 years ago,
mm-hmm.
if this kind of thing happened in Europe, we'd just be like, oh, another day in Europe, mm-hmm. right? Because shit was fucked up, right? Yeah. But now shit's not fucked up anymore. So, okay, if it happened in Bulgaria, we'd probably go, ugh. Bulgaria, fucking Bulgaria, you know, even though it may never happen in Bulgaria, but in our heads, like Bulgaria is not a 21st century civilized, like settled, normal place.
Right. Right.
Russia, if it happens in Russia, we're kind of like, yeah, fuck them, serves them right, right? If it happened, okay, so here's another test. So I did the test of if it happens in another predominantly white, predominantly Christian area like Russia, Bulgaria, Latvia, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Since we don't know much about those places and we figure they're fucked up anyway, we're like, oh, there you go. Is there, well, another example is if it happens in Israel. Where people are white, yeah, they have a different religion, but we generally, these days, like Jews. If it happens in Israel, we don't lose our minds. We just, we're sad and we support them, and I'm sad and I feel bad, and every life is sacred.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't lower our flags to half staff because we kind of go, well, yeah, that kind of thing happens there.
Okay. So,
right?
So has lowering the flag jumped the shark now? Is it a thing?
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Okay.
I took a long time to say it. But
okay.
I don't know. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world to do is to go, oh, well, you know, since they were white, we feel bad. If they were brown, we wouldn't feel bad.
Well, right? Yeah, and even Israel, if something happened in Israel, the average dumb American probably thinks they're brown.
Well, yeah, and it would be easy to go, oh, well, that's because they're Jews, and we don't like Jews.
That's right. And
I just think that's too easy, though.
We'll never dumb. Get...
yeah.
As a people,
we're dumb. But we'll never get any smarter. We'll never... This national dialogue will never move forward if we always just go, well, the reason you think that way is you're racist.
Yeah.
Because that just ends the conversation. like, why can't we be honest and go... I agree that it's fucked up, but I don't know why I'm doing it. I'm pretty sure it's not because I'm racist. Maybe it is. Let's talk about it and let's find out. But if you start with your assumption is I'm racist because I'm not saying me, but right. In general,
right.
And I'm leaving out the, you know, backwoods rednecks because you're never going to get anywhere with them. I'm talking about average Joe who's afraid to tell you that, yes, this Belgium thing tore me up more than the Turkey one.
Oh.
Yeah, it did. But they're afraid to say that because they're going to get labeled racist. Whereas if they weren't afraid to say it and we could have a conversation about it, then maybe we'd get somewhere.
See, when you said, you know, the average Joe, as opposed to these backwoods rednecks who aren't afraid, I'm like, listen, I thought you were going to say that they're racist.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not afraid to tell you that.
They're not afraid. Well, I think if we've learned anything this political season with Trump's rise, it's that the average Joe might be those rednecks from the backwoods.
Yeah.
They may be the average Joes.
Well, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the great redneck migration. I think it really was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was a silent migration.
Change the channel, Marge!
Grandpa pissed his pants again. He don't give a damn. Brother Billy has both guns drawn. He ain't been right since Vietnam. Sweet home Alabama, play that dead band song. Turn those speakers up full blast. Play it all night long. Cancer now. The cattle all have brucellosis. We'll get through somehow. Sweet home Alabama, play that dead band song. Turn those speakers up full blast. Play it all night long. Country living, sweat, piss, jizz, and blood. Sweet home Alabama.
All the ships at sea on Lake Michigan and in the White River.
Why has the river got to be white? Because it's Indiana.
Yeah, exactly. Black rivers matter, man.
Black. Hey, no rivers matter.
All rivers matter. No rivers matter.
No rivers.
Hey, matter. Have you ever studied World War One? No lives matter, dude.
That's just true.
Something like 36 million people died.
You know what's? I watched that documentary. It's like a 10-episode documentary I was watching on World War One with my son. And speaking of Turkey, mm-hmm. and they were talking about how the British sent the British, you know, because they were in red coats, they sent
the Tommies.
Yes, they sent the New Zealand troops and the Australian troops into Turkey, and got their asses kicked, and supposedly that's what united Australia and New Zealand as a people was the fact that they were so. I mean, they really did. I mean, it's insane to think about how much that war changed everything. Yes. But it really did. But yeah, that's what brought those two peoples together as a brotherhood. Because, you know, when you get the shit kicked out of you as badly as they did, you kind of come away from it with a different perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about that for a bit. This is very timely because remember a while back I posted, hey, I have an hour and a half each way commute now. Mm-hmm. Suggestions for what I should listen to, mm-hmm. you know. Paul Volstorf posted Hardcore History, which I had never heard of before. Dan Carlin. I never heard of him before either. I know his dad, George, but I didn't know about him.
Did
you freeze up again?
No, I'm still.
I don't think
I'm
George Carlin
this
is
the whole time yeah. you're talking.
So please do, please do.
My neighbors think
Paul
I,
is
my neighbors
Paul
think
is dancing
got...
like a he's dancing like a twirling dervish
like,
right
like
now.
Like no one's watching.
Like he's at a fish concert.
is he at a fish concert? No, he's got
palsy. He's got the palsy.
I got the palsy.
Dude, are you gay? Anyway, Paul Volstorf posted Hardcore History, mm-hmm. and of course I had to make a joke because I could never be serious about anything.
No.
I was like, dude, I'm an expert on the history of hardcore. You know, I don't need a podcast. Right. I could do a podcast on the history of hardcore, dude.
One day we just might.
Exactly. Anyway, so I started listening to it. And I started with, he did a 6-part series on World War One, mm-hmm. and each part is 3 to 4 hours.
Jeez.
So it's taken me like a month to get through it all. But dude, if you are at all interested in World War One, it's awesome.
Well, I am now. I mean, I never really was. Yeah. I knew.
Me neither.
I knew as much as the next guy. As long as the next guy.
You know how
guy...
much the next guy knew? And I could have been the next guy because this is all me, you, and the next guy knew.
I was going to say.
Trench warfare.
Yeah, yeah.
Archduke Ferdinand.
Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with the band.
And the armistice pissed Germany off enough that it caused World War II.
Yeah.
That's all I knew about it, right?
Yeah, right.
But now I feel like an expert on World War
One. That's really all my son knew. And
I want to see that documentary you just mentioned.
Do you have Hulu?
Yeah.
Just type in World War One and it'll pop up, and it's like 10 episodes long. But it's like he had the basics, and then I started telling him about other stuff, and he goes, yeah. "Well, we did kind of just gloss over it."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So did we, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas truce. We didn't even learn about the Christmas truce.
No. We learned about that. I learned about
in
that
school.
Much later.
Yeah. So the way Dan Carlin describes Gallipoli, which is where the battle you're talking about with the Australians and New Zealanders, And the Turks, fighting the Turks, was Gallipoli. It was a very famous battle. There was a lot of British there, too. But
Yeah, well, the British were...
English.
Yeah, the English were behind the...
We got your back.
Yeah.
Way back.
Yeah.
But the way Dan Carlin described it, yes, they got their ass kicked because the plan was just fucked from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? And they basically... they landed these guys on the beaches. Imagine D-Day if the Germans actually knew that the Allies were about to land there and had like 2 months. Well, Dan Carlin goes, the commander of the Central Powers, which was, you know, Germany and Austria-Hungary and those guys, the commander said something like 8 days. I need 8 days to get ready. We know they're coming because basically they announced they were coming by bringing battleships in, and you know, like a couple of battleships get sunk and they go, fuck it, we're backing off and bringing in the troops. And everybody knew what they were about to do, and the guy's like, I just need 8 days. If I could just have 8 days, I could be ready for them. He got like 2 or 3 months to get ready. So they're fucking sitting on the beach like getting suntans, like when are those guys gonna get here? Shit. So they just got fucking slaughtered.
Yeah,
right, as you said. But Dan Carlin said the Australians and the New Zealanders fought like, you know, it's like a whole bunch of
New Zealanders,
like a whole bunch of Charles Bronsons.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like,
on the beach, right?
New Zealanders and Australians.
Exactly. And he just said they were, that's where they got the reputation of just being super tough,
yeah,
like badass soldiers.
Yep.
They got their asses whooped, but it wasn't their fault,
right?
You know, they would have, they may never, you know, they ended up establishing beachheads and digging trenches,
yeah,
and all that shit. They probably never would have gotten that far if they weren't Australians and New Zealanders. It turned out the Turks were much more fierce than anybody imagined, especially when you give them like 2-3 months to get ready.
Right.
Right. Ah, I love that. I've, like, for the last 3 weeks, I've been listening to this thing and his voice and the way he talks. I finally got to the end and I was like, oh.
Well, I'm going to have to check it out because, you know, that stuff, I mean, like I said, I knew about as much as the next guy, as long as the next guy wasn't, you know, Lemmy from Motorhead, because he'd forgotten more about World War One than most people ever learned. But, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it's a great series. And the cool thing is it like, the interesting thing about it is we had movie cameras back then. So you get a lot of real footage, and then you get a lot of reenacted footage from just a couple years later. That, you know, like Germany went back and pretended they made movies about what happened, and the English did, and so on and so forth. So you get a really cool feeling of what it was like. Lots of guys like getting out of carriages like this, you know, with hats and big mustaches.
It's like,
but it's a lot of war footage, and it's just really, it's really interesting. Plus, the thing about what it is is it was based on a book that, and it's filled with quotes, passages taken from journals and whatnot. So I love the fact, because you get the feel of the language, which brings me around to go, we as a species have really, really, really forgot how to fucking write. Because, you know, these are, you know, the majority of the people weren't very educated, but yet when you read their journals,
their diaries,
like, you know,
and shit,
my dearest Elizabeth, the shell pounding has been horrendous. You know, it's like, we get like, boop, sup, boop, nothing, boop, you know, IKR, boop, you know, it's like, we've really, really, is it denigrated?
We've regressed.
Yes, we've totally regressed.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. There was one, letter that Dan Carlin quotes, that of a guy who knew that they were about to. It was an English guy, I believe. And he knew that they were about to go over the top, as they called it, mm-hmm. and, you know, leave the relative safety of the trench yeah. and go on an offensive. And so he was writing the day before to his wife, and he talked about how, you know, this may be the last letter. I hope I see you again, but I may not, because tomorrow's the day or yeah. whatever. And he talks about their daughter or no son. I don't know. Kid. Mm. They had like a, you know, 2-year-old kid or something. Mm-hmm. And he talks about that. And like, that is his whole purpose in life. And like, you know, that's what gives his life meaning, is this kid and you, cause I love you and blah, blah, blah. I was fucking bawling in the car.
Yeah.
Like, listening to this, like, cool. tears are coming out of my eyes.
Yeah.
I was like, the way, and that was just some average Joe, and I don't mean the redneck from the hills.
That's right.
I mean, the, you know, Trump supporter guy. I mean, just the average grunt, mm-hmm. you know, in the trenches. And sure enough, he was killed.
Right.
In that battle.
Yep.
You're like, fuck it. Everybody sucks. Everything sucks.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about anything ever again, ever.
Yeah, right.
The average American is taught why we entered the war.
Lusitania.
Yeah, that's not the reason. That's not why.
Right, it's way more complex than that.
But that's way what we more. Were taught. It's right. like, no, right. no, no.
Just like the Spanish-American War was because of some other ship.
Yeah. Yeah, the main, like, was it yeah, the right. main? Wait, no, hold on.
Something.
Macedonia. Macedonia. Macarena. The Macarena. Anyway, we've severely digressed.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing you get from, here's like, if you're like, well, what's your main takeaway from having learned all this great knowledge about World War One? It's that World War One, the reason the United States got into it, the reason Germany invaded France, the reason France was, you know, the reason for the war
mm-hmm.
basically was the same reason for wars for the past 8 millennia,
mm-hmm.
right? It was, you know, you've got the ruling class
yeah.
that look at the world as their, you know, risk board.
Yeah, which to this day, that's what a risk board looks like, is World War One.
Yeah. And that's how they looked at it. And they were like, okay, let's do another one of these. We've been doing these for millennia. I'm a king. Therefore, that's probably what I should do next. Right?
Right.
And the problem started with the machine gun and barbed wire.
Right.
Oh, man. They probably had this in the documentary you saw, but the French cavalry.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, if they had had cameras during the Napoleonic Wars,
mm-hmm.
and you had pictures of Napoleon's cavalry, they would have looked a lot like the French cavalry at the beginning of World War
I. Isn't that insane to think that these fuckers fought a war on horses?
And used it much the same
yeah,
way.
Exactly.
They're just like, send the cavalry in, charge those lines. And the Germans are like, pop, 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 pop. 30,000 casualties in the first week of the war. You know?
We need to rethink how to do a war, which is exactly what that war did. It made it, you know, yep. We had to rethink war after this.
Yeah. And the other thing I got out of it, so that the first thing was, that war was fought for the same reasons as wars have always been fought, right? Mm-hmm. And the second thing I got out of it was, almost every problem, geopolitical problem we have today, could be traced back to World War One.
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things that was covered in the documentary. It's just how that, 4 or 5 years reshaped the landmass, the political structure, everything was reshaped and still to this day resonates.
Yeah. The reason the Middle East is fucked up is World War One.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the reason we got the Soviet Union in the Cold War, World War One. Yeah. Of course, everybody knows we got World War Two because the way Dan Carlin puts it is some people believe, well, he actually quoted the guy that said when he saw the treaty.
Yeah.
He said, this isn't a peace treaty.
It's a 20-year armistice. This is a 20,
exactly. This is a 20-year armistice. Sure enough, 21 years later.
Like 21, was it 21 years? 20 years and 46 days later it happened or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. I heard that and I was like, I didn't realize people knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Like we, in history class, all we get is, and Germany was so bitter over the terms that, you know, they... Hitler rose to power and they started a war.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Hitler is a bad guy, evil. I get it. However, Germany wasn't evil in World War I. They were just another ancient, or not ancient, but another old world empire. Right.
Right.
And
they had an old score to settle with the Russians. So it goes back to,
yeah,
like several hundred years.
Well, I like the thing that Dan Carlin points out that I didn't get before is he calls it, he said it's a form of biological warfare, only instead of using germs, they used ideas.
Yeah.
And basically, Germany helped Vladimir Lenin get to Russia.
Right.
And they, when the Tsar abdicated and stuff, they actually helped foment the Bolshevik Revolution, yeah, so that Russia would get out of the war.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, that's weird. And so that is how we got Soviet Union, how we got China, how we got Vietnam, how we got Korea, how we got, I mean, it's just everything.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking Europeans.
I know, right?
Filthy white people. That's shit.
Turn that shit off, man! What's wrong with you, man? Get the other record. Damn.
By the way, Facebook page is getting a lot of activity lately.
It really has.
A lot of likes, a few shares.
Mm-hmm. Which is always cool.
Obama burning Cruz was hilarious.
Dude, I did a spit take when I read that. Because we all know it, but to just have the president, you know, I'm out of fucks.
I'm out of fucks.
You know, the president, who's out of fucks to give?
And it was like, in that big old bag of fucks that he had, he's out.
He's out.
He used his last fuck. Probably on, I don't know what, but yeah, the way he was just like, you know, to talk about, we need to patrol Muslim neighborhoods. He's like, I just left a country where they do that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Senator Cruz's dad escaped that place to come to a place that's free.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so you want to talk about liberty and freedom, Senator Cruz? So we've heard a few good jokes, not the least of which is the why doesn't God like fruitcake?
Joke. That's my current favorite.
But you know, I would like to have my palate cleansed a little bit with an actual good joke.
Ah, well,
you know. So do you have a palate cleansing good joke?
Yes, I have another one from Arlo.
Fantastic.
What's green, fuzzy, and could kill you if it fell out of a tree?
I can think of a few things, but none of them funny. green, what's green, fuzzy? It could kill you if it fell out of a tree. I don't know. What?
A pool table.
That is true. that's very true. Very true. All right. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Do it Indie Radio Hours next, which means you get to hear my voice one more time.
That's right.
So, don't you forget, nothing you just heard was true.
No. Nothing you just heard was true?
Nothing you just heard was true. Thank you.
to Moscow, remembering you as being alive.